Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is July the 14th, 2016. It's a Thursday afternoon on a hot day here in North Carolina. So greetings to everyone. Glad that you join us. Before I get into today's program, let me just provide some information to those who are listening right now. I got a message last night that a person was listening to the station to a particular program. I believe that program was Blacks in Business, and they were talking about some of the secrets of real estate. So when we're not on air live, we upload, you know, podcasts to the station and other content to the station. So that's on Auto DJ. But when we get ready to do our live program, and of course we interrupt, you know, that pre-recorded programming. But if you want to continue to listen to that particular podcast because it has some information that you wanted, please go to the website, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Whatever program it is, they all have a archive of their podcast. So you could just hover over the name of the particular program, and then another menu will appear once you hover over it, and it'll say archives or podcasts. I can't remember which right now. But yeah, click on the archive, and then you'll be able to scroll and see all of their past programs so that you can go back and listen to the rest of it, or, you know, discover new programs that particular program has done. So just wanted to get that information out. Take advantage of the archives and the way that our platform is set up. No matter what device you're on, a tablet, a smartphone, a desktop computer, it doesn't matter. It will adapt to your device, and you will be able to download the podcast or listen to the podcast no matter what kind of device you have, whether it's an Android or iPhone. All right, so just wanted to put that out there. Today is just going to be basically open forum news day. I have a couple of news items that I would like to share with you. At any time that you would like to add to whatever we're discussing, whichever news item, or if you want to report, bring to our attention some news that's not getting any attention and you want to share it with me and the listening audience, you can do that as well. The telephone number for the conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. You can also hit us up through our Skype studio line. That telephone number is 704-951-5030. Again, that's 704-951-5030. Or use the web-based flash phone from anywhere in the world. Now, what's in the news? Well, the headline, which is the main news item that I want to discuss, is Black Lives Matter and some law enforcement officials met with President Obama after it was over. This was a closed door meeting. After it was over, President Obama flanked on either side by a cop and by a Black Lives Matter representative held a press conference and whatnot. So I definitely want to talk about that. I'm also still very disappointed that I see so much negativity directed towards these young people, these myths and what have you, and you know, people just not requiring people to provide proof whenever they, and I'm gonna call it slander, when you slander someone, you know, when you want to make accusations about any group, you better come with some proof, man. You better come with some proof, because otherwise I'm just going to look at it as hearsay. Now, you know, one of the things about BLM, a long running myth, is that George Soros is funding them. Look, you may not know this, but if I wanted to, I could just declare that Black Talk Media Project and Black Talk Radio Network is part of Black Lives Matter, the movement, considering how many Black Lives Matter activists we have had on the program, considering at least one of our hosts are mentoring a couple of people in that movement in his home state. So again, you know, when I first started hearing that, yes, we should be suspicious of everybody. Be suspicious. So when I first started hearing that, I started doing research, and all the research pointed to one person as being the source of this myth, and that's Alex Jones. Okay, Alex Jones of Prison Planet and InfoWars. And I have reported over the years the hate and other false information they put out to the white people who frequent that site, who make up the bulk of his supporters or listeners or visitors to his website. And they putting all this garbage out. And, you know, these people are acting like, you know, this information is correct when it's not correct. I have not seen any kind of anybody get some paperwork and copied it and posted it to the internet showing a grant application to the Open Society Foundation. I haven't seen anybody offer that. All right. And again, when most of the people talking about this, when we trace it to the sources in the news publications, our right-wing white supremacist websites, then, I mean, that should be a clue right then and there that you know, you better not take these people at their word, and you better do your own research. So the other thing people talk about, Black Lives Matter don't have any solutions, they ain't doing nothing but starting riots and marching in the street and being loud and obnoxious and all of that, but you know, I've been aware of some of their policy proposals for a very long time. In fact, I even submitted some proposals in dealing with police terrorism to an organization that's affiliated with that movement, because all Black Lives Matter is a movement. There is one organization that incorporated with that name, but the movement is a loose affiliation of various organizations all over the United States that have taken an interest in trying to stem all of this violence that is occurring to people in our community at the hands of slave catchers. So, you know, just I just get annoyed at it, man. And I'm not going to say I'm angry with these people. I'm just annoyed, because this is a tried and true tactic. And actually, we are going to cover a story that talks about the propaganda in the American news media, not just the corporate news media, but it, you know, all media, all media, anybody with a blog, anybody with a website, you know, and I make no bones about it. I do call what we do a propaganda operation, but we're not propagandizing lies or white supremacy or anything of that sort. Okay, the propaganda is a form of media, and it can educate, it can inform, and it can also, you know, lead people down the wrong path purposely. One of the first stories we'll look at is this news anchor. Her first name's Naomi. Her last name escapes me right now, but she's been on CNN. She's worked for CNN and other corporate news outlets, and she was at some kind of town hall meeting, and she just exposed, or rather confirmed, the propaganda of the state in American news media. So I want to take a listen to that. Russia and the Chinese are holding a joint training exercise right now. I believe it's taking place in Russia. This is something that we should be keeping our eyes on. Tando Radio Show, which comes on at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on this network, Black Talk Radio. The host of that program, Brother David, has done a great job in informing people about global events and in terms of, you know, war moves being made all around the planet. And this is one of the areas that, or one of the things that he's been looking at, I've been looking at. A lot of people may not realize that you got Chinese military forces in Syria right now, working with the Russians and what have you. They're also in the South China Sea holding naval exercises. As there's a dispute over those territorial waters, and the United States is using proxy countries that, you know, it has gotten hooked on all that free money. Well, it's free to them, but we as taxpayers had to pay for it, and getting them to challenge China as proxies and what have you. So, you know, it is not far-fetched for anyone to say that we could be on the brink of another disastrous war. All right, Russia and Chinese are both and the Chinese are both nuclear powers, so United States has no advantage there. They have far more troops than we have, and I would say their technology is on par with the United States technology, and in some cases may even be better from what I was reading. Like the United States Navy relies too much on satellites to navigate around the world, when the Russians or the Chinese could easily take out those satellites and mess up their navigation. All right, so definitely want to talk about that. Video was released showing the killing of the 19-year-old white male by the name of Dylan Noble. His killing at the hands of police officers sparked a White Lives Matter rally against the police. Now, those who are longtime listeners of Black Talk Radio News, y'all may recall over several months, I've been doing programs or talking about white lives don't matter to white people. Because, you know, looking at the databases of those being killed by police, a huge segment of the victims are white, usually white males. So, you know, I was asking y'all, want to play this mocking game of Black Lives Matter and what have you. You know, where is white lives? When are white lives going to matter to you? Or do you just accept the police gunning down your children, gunning down your fathers, gunning down your mothers and what have you? And so I want to take a look at that story. Definitely want to look at that. President Obama hosted a meeting between law enforcement and BLM, and we'll take a listen to that press conference. So let's go ahead and actually get started with the program. Let's start with this lady talking about propaganda of the state. All right, not just, you know, propaganda made up by the networks, you know, racist propaganda like we see a lot on Fox News and CNN. But no, this is state-sponsored propaganda. So this woman, her name is Naomi Wolf. Naomi Wolf. Let me see if I can get some background on her. Naomi R. Wolf is an American author, journalist, and former political advisor to Al Gore and Bill Clinton. She first came to prominence in 1991 as the author of The Beauty Myth. With the book, she became a leading spokesman of what was later described as the third wave of feminists, of the feminist movement. Let me see. I want to know about her positions in the U.S. media. They don't have that right here, but I know she did work for CNN. So that's how she came to prominence. She wrote a lot of books about feminism and I guess attracted a large audience. And therefore, you know, she got a show on CNN and what have you. I don't know if she's still on there. I haven't seen her on TV in a while, but she was participating in some kind of conference. Now, the video doesn't give me a lot of information, but this was some sort of conference. The video was actually published earlier this year in April, but I just came across it, and I thought it was very, very important that I share it with our listening audience, because as I always tell our listening audience, stop believing everything that you see on TV. Do your own research. They've been running COINTELPRO propaganda operations, especially against black people, forever. Forever. I mean, ever since they invented the doggone printing press, they've been pushing anti-black propaganda through news media and what have you. So this is Naomi Wolf talking about the fake news that's in corporate media.
Hey, on your number 10, where you're saying, oh, well, you know, the whole, you know, martial law, what do you think of what happened in Boston? When we were looking for
bombing?
Pressure cooker and two teenagers, you know, and then they took over the whole city and shut it down. And to me, that looked a whole lot like martial law.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't believe. See, this is why I didn't want to give this talk, because I knew that we'd have this conversation. And now it's on the record. All right. Let me take a step back. We have to deal with it. Let me take a step back and a deep breath, because this is a very painful thing to talk about. All over the world, we know, it's well established, the State Department intelligence agencies engage in theater, and it's what they do, it's spycraft, to create spectacles and events that people may not realize are spectacles and events, but that, well, like the overthrow of Mossadegh in the 50s in Iran. They'll funnel money to protesters, they'll, you know, fly people in to infiltrate protesters, they'll create fake newspapers, and so on. So we know that this happens in countries around the world. I believe that a law has been passed in the United States, I think it's part of the Defense Authorization Act, I need to confirm this, that, pardon me, now makes it legal to propagandize American citizens. Do we know about that? Yeah, it's true. And is it in the NDAA or is it in something else? Do we know?
It's a separate bill.
It's a separate bill. And it's been passed. It's now law? Do we know what the
name? 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Do we know what the name of it is?
I don't remember, but I reported
on it. Oh, thank you. Will you send me the link?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there just to go more in depth about things that she is saying. She was talking about the United States create spectacles and they fund protests in foreign countries and what have you. That was pretty much the Arab Spring, the so-called Arab Spring that you saw. And I did read reports of different organizations affiliated with the United States government, like Freedom House is what they call it. And they were paying protesters in Egypt to turn out in the streets. And what have you. And so, but it is always going to be towards pushing an American agenda or goal, just like Libya. Just like Libya, they said that, oh, we got to go protect those protesters that are protesting in Benghazi against Gaddafi and what have you. But so that was the pretext to go in and overthrow a U.S. ally in good standing. This man was in good standing, or Libya was in good standing with the United States, was officially an ally since 2005. They had normalized relations, and Gaddafi was actually going after real terrorists and Islamic terrorists because of the bombings that were occurring in Africa. And because, you know, Gaddafi's a pan-Africanist, he cares about what happened on the entire continent. So he was really going after them, and he had imprisoned a whole bunch of them. So, but that is who was protesting. Islamic jihadists were protesting, all right? And that was entirely orchestrated by the State Department under Hillary Clinton, along with the CIA, and that U.S. ambassador that ended up getting killed. So that's, they still do this stuff all over and over and over. And the United States, the U.S. news media, CNN, all, what did they do? All they did was tell you every talking point that came out of Hillary Clinton's mouth, out of Susan Rice's mouth, out of Obama's mouth, like it was the gospel truth, and it was not. It was a straight up lie, not unlike the lies that they told about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction. So, I mean, it's like, I guess when your tactics work over and over and over and over, there's no need to change it. There's no need to change it. So, again, that's what they're talking about in terms of the martial law. The Boston Marathon bombing. And he was talking about how they just took over and shut down the whole city. It wasn't just police, but it was also people in military gear and what have you. They could have been with Homeland Security. Who knows? Who knows? All right. But it was a whole bunch of them, and they shut down the whole city. Well, there was actually a training exercise against terrorism that was going on at the time of the Boston Marathon, and what happened? They got bombed. And I believe that they allowed that to happen, like they allowed 9/11 to happen, because Russia told them to, and two separate phone calls from me, from reports, had let the State Department know, also let the CIA know about that one brother, the oldest brother. They chose to ignore him, just like they chose to not continue to monitor the activities of Mateen Omar. So, that's why he's talking about martial law, because of just how many of them and how quickly. Well, that was because they were already there doing this so-called training exercise against terrorist acts that then occurred during your training exercise. So, go figure. Here you go. Here, let's listen to the rest.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. What they're talking about, and I'm pulling this up, U.S. repeals propaganda ban, spreads government-made news to Americans. So I actually reported on this back in 2013, because the United States and the U.S. military, like, they had an armed forces network. They have other radio networks. I'm not so sure about television. They create these fake news stories and on these fake news sites that are run by the U.S. government, and it's meant to influence people in other parts of the world, because it was illegal for you to be directing that at the American people. Now, again, this is why I'm not a law and order guy, because they don't respect the law. I'm talking about the authorities don't respect the law, and they violate it all the time. So in 2013 is when they repealed this anti-propaganda law, which prevented the U.S. government from its broadcasting arm from delivering programming to American audiences. Again, it was only legal for them to direct it at people overseas to control their minds or control their perspective about world events and what have you. But this propaganda, but that still did not stop them from producing propaganda. Because if we just go back to the 1960s, and this propaganda ban was in place before then, but we go to the 1960s, the 70s, the 80s, and even today with the propaganda against Black Lives Matter. But in the 60s, COINTELPRO, they admitted, I've played the clips before, they admitted, the CIA as well as the FBI admitted that they had planted stories in American news media. Most of these stories were targeting members of the Black Panther Party to demonize them, directed at Malcolm X to demonize him, to even demonize the nonviolent Martin Luther King Jr. Okay? So, again, this is why I don't care to hear about no law and order. This is why I don't, you know, while I want these things to happen in terms of legislation and like banning private prisons and whatnot, I am under no illusion that just because a law gets passed, something's going to be done about it. In fact, last night we were on New Abolitionist Radio discussing the fact that there was a law passed in 2000 that the Department of Justice was supposed to be monitoring and providing oversight to private prison transport companies, and they weren't. They just simply were not doing it. And Attorney General Loretta Lynch claimed she didn't know nothing about it. So again, they, you know, just cause they pass a law don't mean that, hey, they're just another law for them to break. Anyway, so this article from foreignpolicy.com, you know, reports on that. Now, you may have heard of VOA, Voice of America. They got a website. Now, in order to comply with the law, they will have to block that website from being, you know, seen by people here in the United States. I don't know if you're on YouTube, you ever try to watch a video from Al Jazeera and it says the video is blocked in your country? Well, on a quick side, there is a way around that. All you had to do is get the URL, take it to one of those websites to where you can put the YouTube video in and download the video. That's the way you can watch whatever it is they don't want Americans to see. So that's just a little tip for you. But yeah, they block certain channels on YouTube. They can do this. And so, you know, in order to comply with the previous law, they will have to block a VOA website from Americans and what have you. So it says, I'm going to jump down. It says, read a little bit of this article. For decades, a so-called anti-propaganda law prevented the U.S. government's mammoth broadcasting arm from delivering programming to American audience. But on July 2nd, again, this was in 2013, that came silently, because the American news media didn't report it, that came silently to an end with the implementation of a new reform passed in January. The results in unleashing of thousands of hours per week of government-funded radio and TV programs for domestic U.S. consumption in a reform initially criticized as a green light for U.S. domestic propaganda efforts. So what just happened? Until this month, a vast ocean of U.S. programming produced by the Broadcasting Board of Governors, such as Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and the Middle East Broadcasting Networks, could be viewed or listened to at broadcast quality in foreign countries. The programming varies in tone and quality, but its breadth is vast. It's viewed in more than 100 countries and 61 languages. The topics covered include human rights abuses in Iran, self-immolation in Tibet, human trafficking across Asia, and on-the-ground reporting in Egypt and Iraq. I'm going to go ahead and post this so you can read the rest of this article on our website, on our Facebook page is where I'm going to post it, so you can read the rest of that. All right, again, this is foreignpolicy.com reporting this in 2013. I remember reporting it on Black Talk Radio News as well. All right, so let me go ahead and get that posted so, you know, y'all can check my sources and what have you. And then we'll continue with the video. I tell you what, let me go ahead and take my station identification break and we'll pick up on the video On the other side, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. We'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
So what this means is, and I, you know, as a journalist to say these words, just I can't tell you with what a heavy heart I say them, but we've entered an era in which it is not crazy to assess news events to see if they're real or not real. And in the United States as well as overseas. And in fact, it's kind of crazy not to. Now, you know, there's so much hype about what I just said, and so I want to be very clear about it so it can't be taken out of context. You know, there's, pardon me, this kind of reflexive vilification of anyone speculating about that because they become a conspiracy theorist, right? Well, just bear with me. You know, I've often thought about this because our intelligence agencies, and for I respect spies. I mean, you know, who are doing, like, before it got out of control, I believe we need intelligence. I believe we need intelligence agencies. I don't think there's anything dishonorable about being in the intelligence services if you obey the Constitution and the law. But all over the world, our intelligence services are engaged in conspiring to create outcomes. That's their job. That's how they're successful. So now that it's legal to propagandize in the United States, it doesn't surprise me that there's more and more products coming up in popular culture, more and more events in the news stream that seem to be, to my eye, to be subsidized. Let me give you some examples of that. I'm not talking about Boston right now. I'll get to that. We also talked earlier about infiltrators, right, and how they provoke violence. This is well established. So if we know that infiltrators by the police, NYPD, they've been documented, or other police forces, dress up like people they're not and provoke violence.
Now, I want to stop it there, okay, because this, again, you know, I've been keep noticing all of this anti-Black Lives Matter propaganda that's out there, and people saying, you know, about talking about rioting and things like that. Now, she just gave you a fact right there, and there were NYPD police officers, especially during the Occupy movement, who were pretending to be protesters and whatnot, and committing acts of violence against police officers and what have you, or, you know, doing property damage, and these be cops. So before you start blaming black people for burning down their own neighborhoods and cities, consider this. Some of them might be cops. Just cause they black don't mean they on our side. Just cause they look like us don't mean they ain't working for the enemy. So before you jump up and blame anybody for anything being burnt down or this being destroyed or whatnot, and I don't never buy into respectability politics anyway. You know, white people have been violently protesting since the American Revolution, you know. So just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind that they pay provocateurs to discredit movements. I mean, again, this is history. Do y'all not know that one of the chapters, the Baltimore chapter of the Black Panther Party, was set, was founded by FBI operative. So again, like she said, don't start calling people conspiracy theorists and stuff. This stuff is documented. All throughout history, these tactics have been used.
Why is it unthinkable that there might be spectacles that might drive an outcome in the news stream? Let me give you a couple of quick examples. And all I'm saying is, we unfortunately, and I have to say this to my fellow journalists as well, we've entered a time in which we need to be very skeptical about the news stream and look at it critically and ask for more verification and more inquiry. And that's just being good reporters. And it makes it like this. There's spectacle fed into the news media in China. There's spectacle fed into, like, Chile. How did Pinochet, you know, engage in his coup? He created photographs of a cache of weapons that the terrorists had, you know, hidden. Was it real? Was it not? Most historians think it wasn't. I mean, this is, like, not unusual, you know, in the process of creating a closed society. So if laws have made it legal to assassinate American citizens and legal to propagandize them, why should it be crazy or weird to think that that might be for a reason, right? All right. I saw the movie Zero Dark Thirty, thank you very much, and I have worked on two presidential campaigns, so I recognize political talking points. And I wrote a piece saying, this reads like the Pentagon signed off on the script. Because there were like chunks of political talking points identifiable to anyone who's worked in Washington. Right? And you don't come up with those if you're a writer writing a screenplay. And everyone was very upset. It was very controversial and scandalous. But in fact, belatedly, a news story came out saying that in fact the Pentagon had, I think, subsidized some of it, but had certainly consulted directly on the script. And I see more and more TV shows about the CIA and more TV shows about spies and gigantic blockbusters in which surveillance is normalized and gigantic blockbusters in which people are tortured to get them to talk in a way that might exonerate people who actually tortured people to get them to talk in Guantanamo. And there's all this money being pumped into these unaccountable, you know, terrorism-fighting things. And now there's no law preventing that money from going through front organizations right into popular culture. So that's of interest to me. And so another thing I want to say, and there are so many people waiting to ask a question, but I just need to say this, is I'm skeptical of certain news events that seem more theatrical than the norm. Or I want to ask questions about them. Because I was in CNN once recently, and they were reporting a story about a water skier who had been decapitated on a lake between Mexico and the United States, and it had something to do with a terrorism threat, right? And I was like, decapitated water skier. Sometimes you hear these things and it's like so novelistic. You're like, real life doesn't work that way. Like, these are so novelistic. Someone's coming up with it to make it stick in the popular imagination. Or it just makes you think, well, I'd like to document that. I'm a reporter. What's the source? And it kept being just this one guy, Judge Arpajo in Texas. I may be mispronouncing his name. He's a very, he was the source, And I have this wonderful Facebook community all over the world. And I went on Facebook and I'm like, Mexican Facebook community, is there any reporting about a beheaded water skier in this lake, in this place in Mexico? And they're like, no, what are you talking about? There's nothing like that. Doesn't exist. So I turned to the CNN producer and said, do you have a second source for this story? And it was all over the news, all over the news, all over the news. And they're like, and they checked and it's like, nope, just this guy, judge, whatever. And I'm like, well, can you find a second source? And they were blushing and embarrassed, and they looked and they confessed that they didn't have a second source, which, if you know what journalism is, you're supposed to confirm it with two sources. So ever since that experience, CNN is running with this. No one's verifying it. Journalists aren't in a position to follow up on anything anymore because budgets are slashed and there's no investigative reporting. All this nonsense can enter the media stream for purposes that have to do with advancing agendas because no one's checking. That's all I want to say about that. Can I take more questions? I guess my feeling about any of these things is, let's investigate. We need to investigate. We need to ask better questions. We need to interview the doctors at the hospital. We need to interview the victims. We need to, you know, get all the footage ourselves. We need to train citizens to be journalists and to have websites. And I'm busy building one as a startup where citizen journalists can document events so that we're not leaving it to the gatekeepers. Yeah.
And I will end it there. And that is one of the reasons that Black Talk Media Project was created. And yes, we are a registered nonprofit here in the state of North Carolina. We don't get funds from the government. We don't accept funds from anyone but our donors and our clients who we provide services to. That is how we fund what we do. All right. So I'm with her on that. I have preached this from time to time, is that you need to be the media that you want to see in your community. It is not that hard to set up a news reporting platform, whether it be radio, whether it be video. Black Talk Media Project can build that platform for you. So get in touch with me if you're interested. But she's exactly right. Now, I think that she was kind of holding back. She blamed this poor journalism that we see in mainstream media on slashing budgets and people aren't just able to do their jobs and no, they doing this on purpose. This is purposeful propaganda. Come on now. These people take in, I don't know how much money the big six media companies make. They exist to push the government agenda. Now, do you not think that, again, going back to Black Lives Matter, she said you're supposed to have two sources, at least two sources. You want to find two or three independent sources talking about the same thing before you can start reporting it as a fact. And so when I hear people again talking about George Soros is funding the Black Lives Matter movement, don't trust them and this and that, what are your sources? Alex Jones? Because that's who that myth traces back to. Remember the young man on I can't remember which university it was. It might have been the University of Missouri when that young man had a hunger strike until racism was addressed on his campus. Well, Alex Jones started talking about, oh, George Soros is funding him. Well, guess what? His reasoning was that George Soros was funding this hunger strike on this university campus because the young man's father worked for a company owned by George Soros, who is a billionaire financier, owns several companies or a piece of several companies. So, I mean, that's not credible. But yet we run with it. And we always talking about, and I'm talking about us. I hear this from the mouths of black people talking bad about black people, poor black people with that, out there in the streets protesting against police terrorism. Oh, they throwing rocks and they throwing this, they doing that and whatever. Just bad talking. But, you know, again, you don't know if your only source is mainstream media. And they have been putting all this anti-black propaganda out, and it affects everyone. It not only affects white people and make them anti-black, but it can make black people anti-black. Because I witnessed some of that anti-blackness from black people on Facebook last night. And I know the driving force behind it. Y'all just don't understand how right Malcolm X was when he said, the American news media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet because it controls the minds of the masses. It can make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. They made Gaddafi out to be this villain, when really, if there was any villains in that scenario, that it would be President Obama, it would be Susan Rice, it would be Hillary Clinton, it would be the U.S. government, period. And we, you know, just keep falling for it. I mean, even so-called educated people, man, they think that what they're getting is the truth, and they never, never seek a second source, a third source, and even a fourth source to see if this is true. And then when they put out this false information, how many times have you seen Fox or CNN run a correction? I can't recall any. I'm not going to say it has never happened, but I can't recall any false news or fake news or wrong news they put out, and then they came back and said, oh, you know what? We made a mistake. How often have you seen them do that? So I thought that was, even though that video was captured in April, I think it's relevant. This is timeless, because they keep on doing the same thing over and over, and we just don't seem as a people to be able to pick up on it. All right, so I'll leave it there. Again, if you have any questions, if you have any commentary, you can certainly share that with us. Give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Hit *6 and 1 to comment. The studio line is 704-951-5030. All right, let's move on to the next story. Like I stated at the beginning of the program, the Russians and the Chinese are holding joint exercises right now. These are special forces that are holding a joint anti-terror training operation. Let me just share this from Ruply TV. Russian and Chinese special forces troops staged joint anti-terror drills on Thursday in Moscow region. The drills involved an assault on an occupied building evacuated by helicopter in a demonstration of martial arts by Chinese troops. Let's see. Viktor Zolotov, commander-in-chief of the National Guard of Russia: I want to say that our Chinese colleagues, the Chinese military, were acting under special conditions in an unknown situation on unknown territory. They use Russian weapons and Russian equipment, and yet show their very high level of preparation. The chief commander of the People's Armed Police of China said that, I like to say that President Vladimir Putin conducted a very important and significant reorganization of the Russian security forces. This is a very important event in Russia in order to optimize the security forces and raise the military and fighting efficiency of the special forces. I think that the new National Guard force of the Russian Federation will provide all necessary public security, including anti-terrorism measures, and will help promote stability and peace. And that's why we are glad to see this reorganization, which is happening right now in Russia, and we consider it is a very important, significant event in Russia. All right, so stop it there. Again, this is war preparation. They're saying it's anti-terrorism, and certainly the United States is known for using terrorists. In fact, ISIS used an American-made weapon to shoot down a Russian helicopter in Syria recently. All right, these people ain't playing. They preparing for war. And the United States and in its so-called NATO allies is already in a war with Russia and China. It's just indirect. It's right now, it's a proxy war. But as we see, you know, the United States and its so-called allies in the Japan, Philippines, and others, as they try to pressure the Chinese government to give up its claim on territorial waters in the China Sea, I believe it is. And the Chinese have been holding naval drills and saying, hey, you're not going to intimidate us. You know, because the United States has sent a warship in those areas and been doing exercises. So they doing their counter exercises and what have you. And right now, as we see NATO forces conducting military exercises on the border of Russia, Russia has also been repositioning its forces. But just so people don't get the wrong idea, look, it ain't going to be no USA and NATO versus Russia by itself. It's going to be, the Chinese are going to come in and back them. I suspect the Iranians will be on their side as well, as they have a strong relationship. I also suspect that a number of African nations would support the Chinese and the Russian, given the economic ties economic partnerships that China has with some African nations, even with, like with Zimbabwe. All right, so that is something definitely to watch. Like Brother Dave said the other day on his program, this is why they just passed this bill, right, that will allow or force your daughters to register for the draft, because they anticipate high casualties, and perhaps they know just recruiting men is, or drafting men, is not going to be enough. So, you know, that just go to show you, man, people talk about we live in this free country and this and that. No, the hell we don't. No, we don't. We are under a dictatorship. It's not a dictator of one, but it's a dictator of many. All right, we are under a dictatorship. If I don't have the free will to choose not to go to war, if I don't have the free will not to register for the draft, and if I'm going to be sent to prison because I don't, then I'm living under a dictatorship. I'm living under a government that does not respect my free will. This is why people, you know, fled the United States during the Vietnam War, which we now know was based on a lie. Again, man, over and over and over and over. But that's why people was dodging the draft during the Vietnam War. So, definitely something to keep an eye on, as this would have a global impact if the NATO and the U.S. went up against the Russians and the Chinese. So let me move on to the next item. Video was released showing the killing of Dylan Noble, and that sparked a White Lives Matter rally against the police. Let me pull up this video. Not sure. Let me see. All right. Fresno. This happened in Fresno, California. Fresno police released body camera footage. Give me just a moment.
Let me see your hand.
Give me just a moment. All right. Fresno police released body camera footage of fatal shooting of unarmed 19-year-old. I believe his name. Dylan Noble. Chief Jerry Dyer said at a news conference that he decided to release the graphic videos of officers firing 4 gunshots into Dylan Noble, a white man, 19-year-old white man, because of the intense public interest in the shooting. Now, when this occurred, this young man's friends and other people in the community had a White Lives Matter rally. And, you know, they were blocking off the street and they were saying, fuck the police. Excuse my language, but they said, F the police and white lives matter and this and that. And as I read what some of them had to say to the news media, and they were being, you know, tagged for appropriating the hashtag Black Lives Matter. Like the police, All Lives Matter did. And so, you know, but I'm like, why get mad at them? Why get mad at them? You know, you don't own a hashtag or nothing like that. Ain't they focusing on targeting the slave catchers? I could give a damn if they got Confederate flags. I don't give a damn if they like me personally. I wouldn't give a damn if they was racist. All I know is that I think it's a good thing that they are turning their attention to the police instead of being part of the crowd that want to say black people just complaining about nothing. Oh, it's their fault that the police is killing them and blah, 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 blah. Look, there is a reason that these videos of white people being killed don't get showcased on CNN or Fox News or anything like that. Yeah, every once in a while you'll see one of these videos pop up and whatnot. But nobody seems to care because white lives don't matter to white people. Nobody seems to care until now. But they don't show those because why? Again, they're a propaganda operation for the government. All right. They don't mind showing all these black people getting killed because they know most of the dominant population, which is white people in the U.S., have low empathy for black people. Not all of them, but scientific studies have shown that most of them. I don't know if it was 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. I don't have those figures, but it said that the majority of the white people who participated in that study showed low empathy for non-white people, whether they were black, some other non-white group. They just had low empathy. So it don't matter if you keep showing it over and over and over and over. The dominant population, the one that has the most power in this country, is not going to mobilize their power against the police for black people. They just simply not going to do it. Again, I'm not talking about the few individual white people that are out there assisting in these demonstrations. I'm, you know, y'all the exception to the rule. All right. Y'all the exception. But if they started showing these videos all the time, like they show black people getting murdered by cops, if they show these videos, guess what? The dominant population with all the power is going to move against the police, and guess what? They're going to act. There'll be some changes in policing and what have you. I looked at this video. I have linked to the video. I'm not going to play the audio to it because you need to see the video. You don't need to just hear it. Now, this young man might have been suffering from some kind of mental breakdown or mental illness or what have you. People were saying that he was acting out of character and what have you. Who knows? He could have got a bad batch of meth. I don't know. They said he didn't have no criminal record or anything like that. The police had got a call about, a white male walking near the airport with a rifle or something. Now, I don't know what the laws are in terms of long rifles and what have you, long guns, and if you can openly carry those in California. I know you can here in North Carolina. I remember one of my uncles, he used to wear a gun on his hip like a freaking gunslinger from an old Western movie and what have you. You can open carry like that here in North Carolina. At least you could back when he was doing it. He's deceased now. So I don't know what the laws are. I guess because he was near airport, they might have feared that, he was going to shoot. So anyway, how they then got from a dude seen walking with a gun near the airport to now you got, they chasing this guy in his truck. So he pulls the truck over. He gets out the truck. He does everything wrong. He really does. But that's not to justify his killing by cops. But he does everything wrong that we tell people not to do. You don't get out your car. You keep your hands at the 10 and 12 on the steering wheel. You just go into codification mode. It's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I ain't talking about doing it because you're afraid or you kissing some behind or nothing like that. You trying to survive the encounter. You trying to get out of the ticket, whatever. You can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar, as they say. All right, it's just being codified. But he did not. He did not do those things. He jumped out the car. Then he talked about how he hated his life. He had one hand up in the air and he had another hand behind his back. Now, when he first got out the truck, you could see his hands and you could see he didn't have anything in his hands. Now, when he turns back towards the police, he has one hand in the air and one behind his back. And he advances on the police. All right. You shoot him one time, he goes down. At that point, you see there's nothing else in his hand. Go look at the video. There's nothing in his hands. As he's falling to the ground to brace himself, I guess, from, hitting his face on the pavement, you see there's nothing in his hands. So instead of them rushing to secure him, they keep talking about stop reaching for your waistband, stop reaching for y'all. I didn't see him doing that, but I did see plenty of time for you to rush this young man and to secure him. But no, what did they do? They shot him, I think, three more times. I think he was shot four times. Yeah, four times. They shot him three more times. I don't think that killing was justified. And it don't matter to me if he white. It don't matter to me if he a redneck. I don't give a damn if he got a Confederate flag flying on his house. I don't care. What I do care is that police be held accountable for excessive force. I do care that police be held accountable for extrajudicial murders. I cannot be on these airways and credibly tell you to be concerned about all these black people being killed, but then when we see Hispanics, Asians, Native Americans, yes, white people being killed, then all of a sudden, I don't care. Ain't got nothing to say, yo. That's good for them and all this and that. Well, you're picking a side, and you're picking a side of the police. This is the very same ones that's enslaving you, gunning down your father, gunning down your mother, gunning down your grandparents, gunning down your children, and all of that. See, people just don't, I don't know, man. They don't understand warfare, man. I mean, there's a old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So this is why I talk about these cases. I'm trying to propagandize white people and get them to turn out against these damn slave catchers and killer cops. So I was happy. I was happy to see a White Lives Matter rally, because I've been calling for them for months now. I've been mocking them. I remember when all them white bikers got shot up at Twin Peaks and where was that, in Texas or whatnot and what have you. I mean, just gunned them down, just killed a whole bunch of people. Where was the damn rally? Where was the mass movement to make white lives matter? Didn't see none. But you'll damn sure open up your damn mouth when black people are mobilizing against this police terrorism. You got something to say then, but as they gun down your own people in your own communities, you ain't got nothing to say. And this ain't happening in no rich white communities. You know where it's happening at. It's happening in the trailer parks. It's happening in the rural areas where there's a bunch of unemployed white people, like in where I live. But I don't see them, and I don't get that, man, unless, you know, they just feel with so much hate for black people that they are willing to sacrifice a few of their own in order to allow the police to keep killing black folks. I can't answer that. I can't answer that. But again, I was pleasantly surprised to see these this white community rise up against the police in the face of a unnecessary killing of this kid. And yeah, he was a kid. I hope to see more White Lives Matter rallies against the police, because you certainly have cause. So I don't have anything further to add to that. But those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. And I will continue to circulate white people getting killed by police in hopes that they become outraged at how much their life don't freaking matter to these killer cops. All right. So let me move on. I'm going to take a station identification break, and then the last story. President Obama hosted a meeting between law enforcement and Black Lives Matter. Listening to Black Talk Radio News, do want to remind you of the ongoing crowdfunding campaign we have for black media. That is how we are able to provide free slots for programs on our network. Those slots are filled right now. We set a certain side, a certain amount of hours aside for you know, people to do a program on this network. But it is also how we keep our prices low. You know, our rates low for the services that we provide is because we're being subsidized by the listeners and the people who consume our media. So please consider making a donation today to our crowdfunding campaign for Black media. If you think Black radio stations matter, if you think Black news media platforms matter, then we need to fund them. We need to fund them. We can't, you know, leave it up. Well, if they just look towards getting advertisement from corporate media or filing for grants from, you know, these other organizations and stuff like that, you know, well, they may not be entirely in control of their media. So we need to fund the media that we want to see. We should be in control of our news and information platforms and not other people. All right, so we'll be back on the other side. Again, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
And welcome back. As I stated, President Obama has been in meetings with law enforcement and representatives of the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm talking about not the movement, but the organization itself. But other members of the movement were there as well. I know, what's his name? Rashard Robertson, something like that. Whoever the CEO of the Color of Change is. I don't know if y'all know about the Color of Change, but I think the Color of Change got started. It was before Ferguson. I think it got started after Trayvon Martin got killed or something. But anyway, it's run by black people. I have participated in a number of conference calls with various organizations or members of organizations and whatnot. We even broadcasted one of them. So these are the people I'm talking about when I'm talking about Black Lives Matter. So I'm not sure if you had an actual representative from the organization that is named Black Lives Matter, but you had other representatives of other organizations. Again, all Black Lives Matter is a movement. It's a movement to say that black lives should matter. They're speaking those things to be as though they were, even though they be not. So people want to even criticize them for having that name and mock them and say black lives don't matter. That's what the reality is. Well, that's because you don't understand the spiritual principle of speaking those things into existence, even though they be not. All right, that's the way I look at that, and that may not have even been their intent of coming up with that name, but that's the way I look at it. Let's not, you know, haggle over a name. But anyway, they were in meetings with President Obama over the weekend, over these past few days, and let's just go ahead and give a listen to what President Obama had to say after the meetings were over.
With Geico, I get 24/7 access.
It is about 13 minutes long, but we're going to listen to it in its entirety.
Get to your video.
And this is from, I think this is was on the White House site.
Well, we have had an excellent conversation. This group, in part, represents the 21st Century Policing Task Force that I put together after Ferguson, in order for us to find constructive steps that we could take that law enforcement and communities could get behind in order to make sure that we're keeping our streets safe, and we are protecting and supporting police officers who are doing a very difficult job, and we can make sure that our communities are being treated fairly, and that people have confidence that the law applies to everybody equally. Thanks to Lori Robinson and Charles Ramsey and the members of that task force, we came up with a set of recommendations. And the good news is that over the last several months since the report was issued, we have seen a lot of law enforcement officers, a lot of chiefs, a lot of departments begin to examine these recommendations and figure out how they can implement them. We've seen real progress with respect to data gathering. We've seen real progress with respect to training. We've seen progress with respect to transparency and outreach to communities. The bad news is, as we saw so painfully this week, that this is a really hard job. We're not there yet. We're not even close to being there yet, where we want to be. We're not at a point yet where communities of color feel confident that their police departments are serving them with dignity and respect and equality, and we're not at the point yet where police departments feel adequately supported at all levels. So what we've done here is to build off the task force report and find out what's working, what's not, and what more do we have to do in order to bring the country and communities around the country together and make more progress on this front. And I'll just characterize a couple of things that have been identified. And I want to emphasize that there's still a diversity of views around this table. That was by design. We have police chiefs and representatives of rank and file law enforcement. We've got people who have been protesting just this week. And we have sociologists, civil rights attorneys, governors, state legislatures. So, as you might expect, not everybody agrees on everything. But here are the buckets of issues that everybody identified as worthy of more work, more study, and ultimately more action. Number one, we're going to have to do more work together in thinking about how we can build confidence that after police officers have used force, and particularly deadly force, that there is confidence in how the investigation takes place and that justice is done. Now, that's a complicated piece of work, but it's going to involve engaging with police departments and state's attorneys, as well as communities themselves, and potentially shaping a set of best practices that ensure when something happens that people feel like it's being investigated effectively and fairly, both for the police officer but also for the families of those who've been affected. And so one of our charges, I think, is to try to find effective ways to do that. Second is continuing work on working with police departments around training, which we emphasized in the initial task force, but also hiring, recruitment. And one of the themes that came from a number of people is how do we support police officers, not just in terms of eliminating bias, but also dealing with the stress and strains of the job so that they have the capacity to interact with communities and de-escalate more effectively? And are there ways for us to resource that? So that was bucket number two. Third is data. Although we put forward a data initiative that is beginning to gather information about what's happening in police departments so that they can do a better job managing their force and ensure that what they're doing is effective, and so that communities can feel confident that they know what's happening with police forces. Generally speaking, police departments, sheriff's departments, law enforcement offices around the country either don't have good data collection or it's just in a form that people can't use. Now, I don't necessarily fault all the departments on that, because I know here in the federal government, with all the resources we have, it has been really hard to just get our data systems and IT and all that set up. Some of you may remember we had a little problem with my health care initiative when it came to data and computers and so forth. So imagine if you've got a small county, small budget, they've got old computers, they don't know how to work systems. But this is an area where we think we can actually make real progress, is to help departments all across the country to put their data in a way that they can use, but also creates greater systems of accountability. And so we understand what happens. And one of the encouraging things for me is that this is an area, when I was a state legislator, I was able to work with the Fraternal Order of Police and the state police organizations, as well as activists, to create a racial profiling bill that gathered data and allowed law enforcement to identify where do they think there's a problem. And because of that cooperation, we've seen improvement in Illinois around these areas. And that's something that I think we all have to spend some time thinking about. Next, we're going to continue to examine how we as a federal government can work effectively with local communities, because we've got 18,000 different law enforcement entities. And we're not going to be able to do for a sheriff's department or a police department what it needs to be doing. What are the best ways for us to help them do the right thing when they want to do the right thing? And are there ways in which we can support communities to lift up problems when departments are unwilling to adopt some of the best practices that are out there? So we're going to spend some time looking on that. And finally, there was broad agreement that this needs to be sustained. I didn't hear anybody around this table suggest that this problem is going to be solved overnight, because the roots of the problems we saw this week date back not just decades, they date back centuries. There are cultural issues, and there are issues of race in this country, and poverty, and a whole range of problems that will not be solved overnight. But what we can do is to set up the kinds of respectful conversations that we've had here, not just in Washington, but around the country, so that we institutionalize a process of continually getting better and holding ourselves accountable and holding ourselves responsible for getting better. And I think we've done that with the task force, but what's been apparent is that it's not enough just for us to have a task force, a report, and then follow up through our departments. We have to push this out into communities so that they feel ownership for some of the good ideas that have been floated around this table. So I just want to say how encouraged I am by the conversation. To the American people, I want you to know that this is a pretty representative group of the folks who've been involved in the debate in this issue and have practical knowledge and are thinking each and every day about how we can prevent the tragedies we saw in Baton Rouge and in Minnesota and in Dallas. And the conversation that took place around this table is very different than the one that you see on a day-to-day or hourly basis in the media. And one of the things that I encouraged everybody here to do was to try to be as thoughtful and respectful outside of this room as folks were to each other during the course of this conversation. Because I think the American people would feel more encouraged. Now, as I said yesterday, I do not want to gloss over the fact that not only are there very real problems, but there are still deep divisions about how to solve these problems. There's no doubt that police departments still feel embattled and unjustly accused. And there is no doubt that minority communities, communities of color, still feel like it just takes too long to do what's right. And the pace of change is going to feel too fast for some and too slow for others. And sadly, because this is a huge country, that is very diverse, and we have a lot of police departments, I think it is fair to say that we will see more tension in police between police and communities this month, next year, and for quite some time. The one thing I think we all have to do, though, is not paper over those differences or paper over those problems, but we do have to try to constructively solve them and not simply win talking point arguments and not just give voice to what we're feeling at the moment. We have to, as a country, sit down and just grind it out.
All right, we're going to stop it there. It's only a few more seconds left. I was taking notes during that. By the way, again, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. You can find us on social media. Just look up Black Talk Radio Network or Black Talk Radio on those platforms, and you should find us. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You could subscribe to any of our podcasts individually, or you could subscribe to the entire network via RSS feeds and get content delivered via email. All right, getting back to what he was talking about, I was just taking a couple of notes, right? But he said, and this is an issue that I have pointed out, that he had convened this 21st Century Policing Commission, and certainly we reported on that after Ferguson. And, you know, there was some issues that I saw with Charles Ramsey, former, I think he's currently the commissioner of police in Philadelphia, but he used to be in Washington, D.C., and his work record in terms of policing is not all that good. That department under him had violated a number of people's rights in regards to protest and things of that nature. I had issues with that. But the main issue that I have, though, with these so-called commissions is that they only come up with recommendations. Well, a recommendation is not binding by law. We don't need recommendations. People give recommendations all day long. Like, stop killing people, you know, stop slave catching, stop doing this, stop doing that, you know, recommend you stop. But if it doesn't have the force of law behind it, it don't matter. It's just a recommendation. That's why, as he mentioned, he talked about collecting data, and he blamed some of it on, oh, they got this old, outdated computers. I mean, as cheap as computers are today, I'm not buying that from these police departments as an excuse. Come on, y'all, bet every last one of them officers got a computer at home and know how to work it. Because he mentioned old people not knowing how. I mean, come on, give me a break, man. I'm not stupid. So I'm not buying that. But I do know that a lot of these departments do not report homicides, officer involved homicides. When we look at the website Killed by Police that has over 600 people in the United States killed by police, then you have the database, the counted by The Guardian, which only has 500 and something. But like I told people, it could be triple that number. We don't know, because all of the police departments, he mentioned, what, 18,000 police departments in the United States, they are only recommended to report. When Bill Clinton was in office and they were talking about making this a law, well, the law, the actual law, was only a recommendation. We recommend. There was no, if you don't report, you will be cut off from all federal block grants and things of that nature, or you'll be penalized this way or that way, you know. So we don't even know the full body count. But again, recommendations do not have the force of law behind them. He talked about transparency. Here in North Carolina, they're working against transparency. In fact, Governor McCrory, Patrick McCrory, I think his name is Patrick McCrory. Patrick, I'm not sure if it's McCrory. But anyway, Governor Pat McCrory just signed a bill into law that give police chiefs the option to not release these dash cam videos and body cam videos, which are the property of the citizens of the United States. But here specifically we're talking about North Carolina. Any dash cam video, any cop body cam video, that belongs to me as a taxpayer in this state. That belongs to my family. That belongs to my community. That belongs to the people in the state. And they don't have the right to withhold it from us. Now, I believe in the old saying, if you ain't got nothing to hide, then why are you hiding? And of course, this bill was pushed through the North Carolina legislature by former cops. See, they're in every level of government. They got people representing them to help them obtain all of this power that you know, it's very hard to even hold them accountable, because they got all these, they got their own police officer bill of rights and things of that nature. So, and yes, we need transparency, but I would point to his administration, which has been one of the least transparent in recent history. But, you know, let's not let that get in the way. But, yeah, we need transparency. One police chief here in North Carolina said he was against the law for the reason of transparency, that we need to the community to know that we are not conspiring against them, that we are going to investigate these occurrences properly and whatnot, and we don't need rumors. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but we don't need rumors getting out about what happened between officers and a victim, and that's not what happened. So we need to be able to make this. It should be transparent. See, we're also getting into constitutional issues, the First Amendment, freedom of the press as well. And I hope people with resources like the ACLU, because I certainly don't have the resources. We're a media operation. We're not a legal organization. But I hope that they will challenge this law, because it violates the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. It probably violates the North Carolina Constitution. But this, again, goes back to, you know, they pass laws, you know, don't mean that they will follow them. You can recommend transparency. They don't do what the hell they want to do. So, yeah, all of this should be transparent. There should be no delays. We shouldn't have to wait a year for a judge to rule on releasing the footage of Laquan McDonald being merciless Lee gunned down in the street as if he was, you know, a target. Like the dude was having target practice. Shouldn't take a court order to get these things released. They need to be released. If you ain't got nothing to hide, then why you hiding it? And ain't we paying for it? And we paying for it as taxpayers? We own it. Give us our damn property when we ask for it. See, again, these are not, these people do not act like public servants. They act like our overseers, which is what they are. And he hinted to that. President Obama hinted to that fact. He said these problems aren't decades old, but they're even centuries old. Again, the police departments came out of the slave patrols of the 1600s, the 1700s, all the way up until even they created USA. Started getting more police departments, and what have they all been doing? Policing black bodies to keep free black people and to keep enslaved black people in check. So he's right on that. It's centuries old. This ain't nothing new. No, what's new is the technology that's exposing the killings. I mean, we can hear about a killing and all that, but when we can see these people being extrajudicially murdered by cops, that's a whole lot different. Then you got proof. And then on the issue of 18,000 police agencies, why we need that many damn police agencies? If violent crimes and other crimes have been in steady decline, where are the layoffs at? You shouldn't be hiring more cops. You should be laying cops off, right? What are we doing? That don't make sense. That's not being fiscally conservative. Why you want to hire more cops when you got too many to begin with? We need to be taking cops off the street, because that's the number one thing that will solve the problem of extrajudicial murders by police, is to reduce contact. To stop all of this stopping and frisking and all of this pulling over people, you know, when I lived in Arizona when I was in the military, do you know that they don't even, you could drive a jalopy that's falling apart, you ain't gonna get pulled over because, you know, they don't have vehicle inspections and things of that nature. I'm not seeing any data that shows that Arizona has more traffic accidents because they don't have that. We need to reduce interaction between police and the communities. Like many people have said, they don't stop crime. They respond to it. They come after the deed has been done. That's probably in 90% of the time. They're not preventing crime. They're committing crimes against the people under the color of law. We need to reduce interactions. Let me see. What else? He talked about his work as a state senator and advancing, working with the police union up there, Fraternal Order of Police, and he talked about how he was able to get this anti-profiling bill through. Again, you pass all the damn laws you want to if you don't enforce them. So we can look at Chicago. We could look at Gary, Indiana. Shout out, Brother Quabiner. We can look at all these other places in Illinois, and we see they still racially profiling folks. Don't matter if it's a damn law on it. Who gonna police the police? Ain't nobody policing the police to make sure that they are adhering to these laws. Just like, again, last night we were talking on New Abolitionist Radio about this recent congressional hearing about all the murders and rapes and abuse that's happening on these private prison transport vans and what have you. And there was a law passed in 2000 to give the Department of Justice oversight over that part of the slave industry. And you got Attorney General Loretta Lynch talking about she wasn't even aware of it. One time there has been a prosecution or the DOJ got involved one time since in 16 years since that law was passed. And then we got this woman talking about she don't even know. She ain't even know about it. She ain't know nothing about that industry. Come on, man. I ain't dumb. I'm not stupid. Maybe she is incompetent and shouldn't be in that position, or she's lying. My money is on lying. So you pass all the laws you want to pass. And you should. You should pass laws. But if the law is not enforced, then what good is it? It's not helping anyone. And again, he's not even talking about any laws here. He's talking about recommendations. Now, what I did not hear and what I have not heard from anyone but activists is that these cops need to be held accountable. That would solve the problem right there. You don't need all of these recommendations. You don't need a whole bunch of new laws and stuff like that. All you need is to prosecute cops when they murder people instead of helping them get off. There's no accountability. When even the Department of Justice, when it looks at the violation of people's civil rights and what have you, 95% of the time they siding with the police. 95% of the time. I was shared a video on Black Talk Radio Network last night, and it showed these two cops. I think it happened in Springfield, Massachusetts. I'm not sure. But there's this black man. It's at night, and these two cops stop him. They claim they had gotten a report about somebody fighting at a bar. So they detain this man. They tell him to get on the ground. He complies with every order, but as he's getting on the ground, one of the cops kicks him square in the face and knocks him out. Totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. Well, he did. The prosecutor actually did their job in charging that cop with assault and prosecuting that cop. Now, in terms of if they put up a strong prosecution or if they threw the case, I don't know. But I have seen some cases, like in Charlotte when they killed Jonathan Farrell, was killed by, I can't remember that cop's name. The prosecution proved their case, but it ended up in a hung jury. In the case of the man I'm speaking about that got kicked in the face, he was found not guilty. And not only was he found not guilty, he's getting a payout of $250,000. That's $250,000 to resign. Why the hell would they stop? It's no accountability. None. And I'm not hearing that. I'm not hearing that from any of these people in these positions of power. They ain't talking about holding cops accountable. Oh, we could save a whole lot of time, a whole lot of money, by just simply applying the law equally to everyone and stop passing laws that allow these police to accumulate powers that lead to them not being held accountable. Didn't hear anything also about, and I don't know, I wasn't behind closed doors with them, but I haven't seen any news reports talking about it. But as I talked about Tuesday on my program, I talked about what? I talked about the 2006 FBI report about white supremacists infiltrating these police departments. Where's the plan for that? How you gonna get them out, Mr. Obama? How you gonna get these people out of here, Loretta Lynch? Mayor, city council, police chiefs. You know, we got the Dallas police chief down there talking about, if you don't like the police and the way we do our job, join us. And I've been seeing these memes. Oh, yeah, like, hey, I don't like the Klan. Let me join the Klan so I can change it from within. One of those five Dallas police officers that was killed, I would say that circumstantial evidence, by the preponderance of the evidence, that this white cop, who was originally from North Carolina, was a white supremacist. I didn't hear nothing about the Dallas police chief talking about we need to clean up our ranks and get these racists out of our ranks because they're putting everybody's life in danger. They're making us all look bad. In that report that I shared Tuesday, it was a classified document issued in 2006. It even talked about well-known nationally law enforcement officials who had ties to these white supremacist groups. They redacted most of it because it had the names of the people listed, but they blacked them out. They redacted it. See, if you're leaving that out of your package of recommendations and solutions or whatever, if you're leaving that out, then, you know, good luck stopping these racist killers that are embedded not only in the police but in the military. And I don't want to rehash Tuesday's program, but when I was in the military, we ain't dumb, we ain't stupid, we work with these people, we in close quarters with these people, and if you're paying attention, they will reveal themselves. You'll notice their white supremacist tattoos and whatnot. You'll see the pages they like on Facebook. You'll see the language that they engage in. So if we're not doing anything, acting on that FBI report about white supremacist infiltration of the law enforcement, then you're ignoring a huge, huge problem that's only going to lead to more cops getting killed and more citizens getting killed. And again, before I close out on the accountability issue, y'all want to blame somebody? Like I've been hearing, again, Alex Jones, racist white supremacist, talking about, and I heard others talking about, oh, the black, Donald Trump said it the other night. Hey, folks, have you seen these rallies? You seen these demonstrations? And they're angry. And they're angry and causing, you know, these cops to get killed. What the hell, man? What, they supposed to be out there smiling, happy, playing kickball or something? It's a demonstration against a murder of two men that you said you couldn't even watch the video. It was hard for you to watch the video because it was really, 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 really bad. Meaning the cops did something really bad. But then in the next breath, you blaming Black Lives Matter? You blaming demonstrators for these cops getting killed? Like what happened in Dallas? Like what happened? Now, I don't know why the guy killed them sheriff deputies. He probably was just trying to escape. But we, you know, there was a white man who just killed three cops not long after Dallas happened. He didn't give a reason. They ended up killing him. But we know the reason of Sergeant Micah Johnson. He said, you know, white cops is the problem, killing black men. That's why he said he did what he did. That's what the police told us, right? If we want to believe them. So, want to play some blame? Play some blame on the fact that y'all been knowing at least since 2006, but like President Obama said, this goes back centuries. In terms of the Klan infiltrating law enforcement and recruiting law enforcement officers and what have you, that's been going on since the Klan existed. I wouldn't be surprised if cops helped found the damn Klan or what have you. So anyway, what you want to talk about? What's the cause of when we see cops being targeted and whatnot? You might want to think about how many of these killer cops where there is clear evidence of them murdering someone, like in Jonathan Ferrell's case, where they just go over and beyond what is needed in using force against people, like with Dylan Noble. When you let these cops go, when you don't hold them accountable, you're basically giving them a license to kill, and that's the message that the community gets. So if you want to place some blame, place the blame on these juries. Place that's letting these killers go. Place the blame on these prosecutors that are not prosecuting. Place the blame on the police chief who's not policing his own damn department and not weeding out these racists. That's where the blame goes, not on the victims, not the ones being targeted. Let me see if there's anything else on here. Conversations. Yeah, this is the last point I'll make. Conversations that they've been having. And again, he said this has been going on a while in different communities. So while y'all been saying, well, what the hell? What solutions do Black Lives Matter have? And they ain't doing nothing but marching and being loud and just trying to get on TV and all this and that. But see, again, just because it ain't on TV for you to see don't mean it ain't happening. But then when we see the media deliberately trying to portray this as a movement of a bunch of angry, and yes, they should be angry, but you know, like we're angry unjustifiably, just trying to use every stereotype. These people are just complaining. They don't have no cause to be complaining. They need to teach their sons to respect police officers and all that garbage. That's what we get from the propaganda corporate outlets. We didn't get the news about all these different meetings of Black Lives Matter people, whether they, whatever organization they belong to, but they working on the problem, meeting with law enforcement officers behind closed doors. But he said the conversations are not like what the conversations have been, not what you're seeing on TV. You know, and then that's another thing too, you know, because I watched this clip of D.L. Hughley on the Kelly Files on Fox News. And again, I don't understand why Black people go on Fox News. I would say the same thing about CNN, but Fox News is really egregious about interrupting Black people, over talking Black people. When they invite them on to talk about an issue, they want to do all the damn talking instead of letting the guest speak his mind, interrupt him, trying to trap him in his words and things of that nature. But you know, these things go viral, and then people are like, oh, he told her, he told her the truth, didn't he? He told her off. And it's a game, y'all. That's for your entertainment. That ain't solving nothing. You can't solve a problem in a 10-minute news segment. You're not going to get in. No. All of that is for your entertainment. There, I imagine other people was on the other side, you know, the Fox News watchers. And what? Oh, Megyn Kelly sure told him. Look, he can't even answer the question. She got the facts on him and all. And that's all it becomes, is just damn entertainment. It ain't to solve no problem. It ain't to look in debt, to have no meaningful conversation. It's for your entertainment. That's all. I don't want to be entertained. I want the killing to stop. I want the slavery to stop. So I thought it was interesting that he said that, you know, these conversations we've been having behind closed doors have been respectful and, you know, in order and whatnot. It's not like what you're seeing on TV when they bring these people on TV and, you know, a bunch of screaming, a bunch of shouting, bunch of rudeness and going on. Again, man, I don't go on. If I was to go on TV, if the Fox News, if Sean Hannity or any of them invited me on to talk about the issue of police terrorism, I'm going to be codified. I'm not going to frame it in the context of race. I'm going to follow Mr. Neely Fuller's suggestion and frame it under, is this treatment just or is it unjust? Is it right for these cops to be killing people? All these unarmed people. I'm not going to talk about the race of the person. That's immaterial. You got to be codified, but, you know, many of us are not codified, and we got to wear our race on our sleeve or whatnot. And you know, it, like, they can't already see we black, you know what I'm saying? But we got to frame an issue in a racial manner that's only going to cause, like Mr. Fuller said, is only going to cause opposition. So why not don't say it's about the race? Say it's about the Constitution. Say it's about this law. And he was talking about it in the context of workplace racism. Don't say, hey, y'all practicing racism against me or something like that. You know, go in the handbook, read their standard operating procedures, go by the law. Like, for example, when I was being cheated out of $1 an hour extra in my pay for working third shift, I didn't go to them and say, you know what? Y'all didn't give me this extra dollar per hour I'm supposed to earn for third shift because I'm black. Every other place I went to, they always pay extra for third shift. That's why I prefer third shift and what have you. And I didn't go to them and say that. I got the handbook. I went and got the handbook. I found the relevant section, and I took that handbook with that section highlighted, and I said, according to this right here, you know, unless y'all have violated this policy, y'all have made this policy, changed this policy, I'm supposed to get an extra dollar an hour. That's what it say in the handbook, but I'm not getting $1 an hour. Can you explain? And what did they say? You're right. Then I start getting my dollar per hour extra. But if I'd have went in there and I'd have said, you know what? I think y'all not paying me my dollar extra hour because y'all racist or because I'm black or whatever. That's not being codified. Because I agree with Mr. Fuller on that. As soon as you throw race into it, it's going to be opposition. So you have to be more codified. You have to be more strategic. We know that black people are killed more, you know, per capita than anybody else by these police. But that don't mean when I go on TV, all I'm talking about is the black people being killed. No, I'm going to talk about the white people being killed. I'm going to talk about the Hispanic people being killed. I'm going to talk about that Indian that came over here from India to visit his son and somebody called the police on him because he black. You know, he ain't black, but he black in terms of skin color. And then they, you know, body slammed this man, put him in a freaking coma, paralyzed him. So I'm going to talk about it in terms of is this right or is it wrong for police to be acting in this manner? It don't matter who they doing it against. So that, and then that throws a monkey wrench into their plans to ambush you because they're expecting you to come on Facebook. They're expecting you to come on Fox News. They're expecting you to come on CNN and just frame the conversation in terms of race. Again, that is not to say that race isn't a factor, but you're being strategic. You're trying to push an agenda. And if you want to push that agenda, you want to push it in a manner that's going to have the least resistance. As long as the goal that we are trying to achieve is achieved, what does it matter how we got there? But again, in terms of codification, I just wish more of these black folks was codified. They go on these propaganda outlets run by the corporate media. Because I don't see it being constructive whatsoever. All it is for your entertainment. You can tell that by the comments that you read on social media under these videos. Oh, he told her. He let her have a piece of his mind. Or she handed his ass to him and, you know, he just really didn't have nothing to say. Man, that's all entertainment. It ain't constructive. It ain't meant to solve a problem. It's meant to play people against each other. That's what it's for. So, they just concluded this summit, whatever you want to call it. President Obama claims it was constructive or what. And I do know that one person, because I am, I guess I would be considered a member of Color of Change, even though I don't pay dues or anything like that. But I do, you know, I am registered and I get all the communications to the members and all of that. You know, they ain't asked for no money or whatnot. But I forget the guy's name, the CEO, but he said that he had told Obama, they talked about withholding, and matter of fact, I circulated the petition and I signed it, talking about withholding these federal block grants to these police departments that don't implement these recommendations. And then President Obama said, you know, we can use that as the carrot and the stick. See, a lot of people don't know, man, that many of these police departments get all this money from the federal government. That's why they got all these military, this military gear and equipment and what have you. And so I will always try to be hopeful for the future and not be so pessimistic, but I had to look at reality. I also had to live in reality. And I just don't see any change. Let's just say that, you know, they implement some of these changes, some of these recommendations coming out of his committee. Well, who's to say the next person who comes in the office doesn't scrap the whole damn bunch? As easily as things are put into place, they can easily be taken out of place. So again, I think the solution to the problem is prosecution of these cops who extrajudicially kill. Now, I'm no dummy. I know that sometimes you're forced to kill because you got some people who do want to commit suicide by cop. But if you know that's what they're trying to do, you know, why shoot them in the chest, center mass, which is where your heart is? That's one of the first things they train me in the military on when we go to the range. You want to shoot center mass. You don't want to go for head shots or anything like that. You want to make sure you hit the target. You want to increase your percentages of being able to hit your target. And then that's where the heart is. You put a bullet through the heart, hey, he ain't doing nothing. That's how these police train, to kill. Somebody said that, oh, they shoot center mass just to stop people. That's a damn lie. That's where your heart is. For example, there was this young woman in Charlotte who was killed last year. She had a knife in her hand. Did they have to shoot her center mass? No, they could have shot her in the stomach. They could have shot her in the thigh because they were in close contact with her. And to be real with you, they should, if all she had was a knife, and this was a little old tiny black woman too, all you had to do, big bad officer, was freaking disarm her. Man, I have disarmed at least two people that have came at me with knives. No, they want to pull out the gun and shoot center mass and murder the woman. All right, so we need accountability. And I didn't hear any of that coming up. I heard about data. I heard about transparency. I heard about, I didn't throw my paper away. You know, we heard about how old the problem is, centuries old. We heard about that. But what we didn't hear is about accountability. What are you going to do to hold these people accountable? Because once you get accountability, and people are actually being prosecuted in jail, well, that might be a deterrent. There's no guarantee, but it might be a deterrent to some of these cops out here. Well, I know I'm going to be held to the same standards as a civilian, that if I kill this person, so I don't want to go to prison, so I'm not going to kill this person or whatnot. But when you see cop after cop after cop after cop getting, not even being charged, or when they are charged, they're being exonerated, even when there is clear evidence of a crime. It's just going to continue, man. It's just going to continue. So those are my thoughts today. Thank you for joining us on Black Talk Radio News. Again, we are crowdfunding Black Media. Please check out the pages for crowdfunding Black Media on blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org. Again, if you want to be the media that you want to see for your local community, the Black Talk Media Project can assist you in building a media platform and integrate radio into it, podcasting. And we're not going to charge you a bunch of money. That's why we take, again, it's subsidized by the donations. We want to keep it affordable so everybody can participate, because we know a lot of our people are hurting financially. So please reach out to us if you want to create a media platform specific to your city, to your town, to your county. Please reach out to us at blacktalkmediaproject.org. And one thing about the crowdfunding campaign, if you want the T-shirt, don't use that first option. All right, to you know, use the second and third option, because there are shipping costs involved, and then that's the proper way to let me know, you know, that you want a shirt. Because if you just send $25 in through that first option, that first link, I'm just taking it that you made a donation, and I'm much appreciative. But if you want the T-shirt, use the second and third option. Thank you all for tuning in to Black Talk Radio News. Stay tuned for Tando Radio Show. Peace and blessings to all.